This is KERA News. I'm Rick Holter. While the violent drama played out on the streets of Baltimore over the last week, an equally passionate debate played out across the country in a social media community that's become known as Black Twitter. Meredith Clark is an assistant journalism professor at the University of North Texas in Denton. She's also a researcher who's taken a deep dive into the Black Twitter phenomenon. Meredith Clark, welcome to the Friday Conversation.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
First off, how do you define Black Twitter?
I define it as a network of culturally linked communicators who use Twitter to interact and converse around issues of concern to Blacks both in the United States and throughout the African diaspora.
So how is this different from other communities that have sprung up on Twitter and social media?
I think the difference primarily lies in the use of culturally resonant language, using phrases and imagery that people already know from their cultural background. Mm-hmm. So for us, that's references to The Cosby Show and A Different World and rap lyrics and the food that we eat and the traditions that we were raised with.
This conversation, though, isn't new.
No, absolutely not. Those conversations have been going on since Twitter's inception.
You could probably argue these conversations have been going on a lot longer before that in barbershops and in Black churches.
Absolutely. That's something that I heard from a lot of my participants. Twitter just became the medium that they used to have these conversations, but they were already talking to each other.
Now, one of the key elements in this is the hashtag, and the hashtag gets used a little differently here than it does in other parts of Twitter. Could you give us an example of one hashtag that has kind of sprung out of this?
I'm going to throw back to 2013 when Paula Deen was fighting a lawsuit about discrimination and bigotry in the workplace. That hashtag, which was actually one of the shows that she had on Food Network, was used to mock her. And so Paula's Best Dishes became traditional Southern foods with a twist that was stereotypical about Blacks or Black-white relations or segregation and prejudice in the South.
So let's look at Baltimore specifically. How does Black Twitter affect what's going on in the streets in Baltimore, and how does what's going on in the streets affect Black Twitter?
We have the opportunity to hear multiple narratives. We are not ultimately relying on news media to tell us what's happening on the street. So via the tweets, the pictures, the video, we can be there in real time. As we were watching some of the protest footage just before the curfew went into effect, you saw a young man, Joseph Kent, get arrested as a Humvee rolled by. And so what Twitter and Black Twitter in particular allows those individuals on the ground to do and those watching at home is to demand accountability. We all saw it happen. And if the answers aren't being given there on the ground, there are hundreds of thousands of people around the country who are still able to protest and say, we want answers. Where is Joseph Kent?
Is this changing the conversation about civil rights in this country?
I'm going to say no. And I say no because I think back to the Kerner Commission report of 1967, when President Lyndon B. Johnson asked a group of individuals to figure out what happened with the summer riots in places like L.A. and Newark, these urban centers where Black people were concentrated, they're poor, they needed jobs, and you saw the reaction to unrest in their cities. At that time, the question was, what happened? Why did it happen? And how can we keep it from happening again? And if you look around the United States in the last year, we're right back where we were.
Meredith Clark of the University of North Texas, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you.